Well, today is Mother's Day. I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers and ladies in attendance today. My wife is, you know, with kids today in the kids ministry, so she's always mothering. And mothering is a job that never ends. And so we just appreciate each and every one of you being a mother. Hopefully it's not a thankless job, fellas. Hopefully being a mother is not a thankless job. And gentlemen, if you're here today and you're like, it's Mother's Day, play it cool, and do good this afternoon, okay? Take care of the mother of your children, man. Well, it is a special honor. I had asked Diane Gifford if she would come and speak to our church on Mother's Day, and it took some convincing, I think. Dawn. But she's going to be bringing the message today on Mother's Day, and it's such an honor. But Pastor Dawn and Diane, when they pastored New Life Church for 26 years, they came, and you guys were 25 years old, maybe. Is that right? And they still are. But you know what? Before the Giffords came to New Life Church, New Life Church had a hard time keeping a pastor. And until the Giffords came, and they chose to be faithful to what God had called them to do it here at New Life. And they wouldn't tell you this, but I'll tell you this. New Life is what it is today because of the 26-year investment they made in the city of Kokomo. And so I honor you. I thank you guys for your faithfulness. And Pastor Dawn, I continue to meet people in the community. And when I tell them, this is my lead, this is my leading line to get to know people, I say, I'm new to town. And they say, oh yeah? I said, yeah, I just moved here last year. They said, what brought you here? I said, work. And then they say, what do you do for work? I said, well, I'm a pastor. I'm the new pastor at New Life Church. And they're like, where is that? I say, Crater Corner. And like, oh, okay, yeah. But you know what the response is I get so many times? They say, I know Dawn Gifford. And I've even met people in the community that say, and I just talked to him a couple weeks ago. He's still my friend. And I remember, I hear about your running club so much. And it just speaks to the deep impact that you made in our city. And we honor you guys for what you put into it. And just not just in the relationships here in our church, but you loved our city when you were here. And I'm sure you still do. And so we honor you. We thank you. So church, would you help me welcome the Giffords as they come now?
Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, love you, man.
Good morning, New Life. How awesome to be here today. We're excited. Pastor Devin was not lying when he said it took a little twisting of the arm for Diane. She used to speak in years gone by on Father's Day here. And she would take that opportunity to take a lot of pot shots at me. And so since this is Mother's Day, I think I will be exempt. So I saw someone in the hallway who said, I knew you were coming today, so we brought snacks. And I said, oh, your wife is preaching. They said, we won't need any snacks. I said, oh, yes, you will. Because she's been working for like hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to prepare for today. I wanted to say a few things today. You talk about the running club. I have some of them right here in the front row with me today. Many of us are older now, and we used to run together, and we have injuries, and we're older now. And we have injuries, and we're older now. So we don't run as much as we used to. But I don't know how often the Ottens come here to church. Where are you at? Right here in the front row. I should have expected you to be in the front row. Pastor Gary and Kimber Otten, if you don't know these folks, and they're three incredible boys. If you don't like them, their boys are awesome, I want to tell you. We love them so very, very deeply. And I was so shocked last Saturday to walk into the Indiana School of Ministry and see Emily and Hannah Harrington in the class. And you don't see people for years and years and years, but when you see them, you know you love them. You still love them. And I had the privilege of dedicating those two when they were babies. So, wow, did I tell you we're older now? And I just couldn't help but hug them because it's brought such joy to my heart. And Pastor Devin is a part of our church life cohorts, and so we get to see him about once a month at the office, and that is a privilege that he's there. And I found out that the Myers came home. I saw them over there hiding in a corner. Love you, David and Wendy. God bless you. How many grandkids you have now? You got a ways to go. We have 16, one grand and one grand coming in October. How exciting. And so we're looking forward to that. I hope I get to say hello to everybody that I have not got to greet before we come. Great to see Gary still in church. That's awesome. praise the Lord. And wow, just so many people we love in this house. And it's a privilege for us to be here. My wife whispered in my ear, don't take a lot of my time. So without further ado, the First Lady of Indiana, my wife of 46 years, awesome mom of three, and we're going to see two of our daughters today when the service is over, and they're bringing their children. They're married to preachers, and they pastor in Crawfordsville and Ellettsville. So my house is... I know I am. And when we have staff meeting, I have a little signal when Diane starts talking. She's not supposed to. I put my hand up. You know what that means? Nothing. So, pardon me. Love you.
I love you. Thanks. Wow, that light there is like, well, how do you preach with that? Okay, you're kind of a blur, but I've seen some of you out in the foyer, so I guess I know who's here. Happy Mother's Day. You've already heard that. How many times have you heard that today? Oh, you're pulling that down? That's good. Thank you. We do have friends here, Mike Dierdorf and Rick and Jane Stucker, and these are in the running club, and we all have dinner together once in a while and hang out together. So it's nice to have them here today for some moral support. Happy Mother's Day to all the women that are here that are, you're a married mother, you're a single mother, you are a grandmother, I'm a Nana, and there's Gigi's and there's Mimi's. There's all kinds of names for grandmothers now. And, there's aunts who, you know, aunts or moms, good friends, godmothers, church people. You know how many people in this church were mothers to my kids? Patty Beck, Janet Myers, I think Kay Burkmeyer some, Marilyn Bagley, Ruth McGuire. I didn't have to worry about who was going to take care of my kids because they'd be in the pew or in the nursery and someone was taking care of them. And I just want to thank you because they weren't always behaved. But I do want to thank you for what you did there, for being their Sunday school teachers, the Royal Ranger leaders, Mike, missionettes, rainbows, all the things that our kids go through. And you affirmed them. You blessed them. You honored them. You spoke into their lives. Some of you called them down when they would be running the halls. That would probably be Nathan. But you were there for my kids. And I hope you are doing the same thing for Pastor Devin and Jenny and their precious boys. Because that means a lot when the church family loves your kids. Amen? Amen. I hope you feel real safe today. Pastor Don and I wore our masks in. I had COVID mid-July, and he got it a little bit after that. Into August, we had 3 weeks where we were sleeping in separate rooms, and we had a few days where I was just ready to say, Jesus, just take me. This is bad. It was really bad, and I just wanted to go be with Jesus. But he brought us through that. We both got both of our vaccines, and we are ready to be mask-free in Miami or in Marion County. If we could just get, who is our mayor? Yeah, if we could get the mayor on board. I thought, I knew this was going to happen. I'd be a little nervous and I would get dry. I thought, since before I get into my message for today, that I would like to, because I am a mom and a Nana, I want to brag on my kids. Pastor Don started telling everything. But I brought a few pictures Well, not a few. Dale would know. There's more than a few. But, you know, I haven't been here for a long time. There's things that have happened. We got to catch you all up because I can't tell you all out in the foyer. Okay, so let's go to that first picture. There. Oh, there you go. There's how you remember my kids, right there. And that's how they are as adults, and that's how they are when they get together. Nathan's got his arms around their neck. The next picture is of Nathan's family. You see Nathan and Rebecca in the middle, his biological kids on the left. And I will tell you more about this. The picture on the right is Rebecca's daughter, Emma, and then they have adopted four siblings. You have Lily and Dominic and Mondo and Isaac. And I have everybody's names and birth dates in my phone because there's a lot of them. And then the next picture is two of our granddaughters that are Nathan's children. Caitlin is married to Sam, and Benji is a year old. And Sabrina and Josh are together, also married. And Josh is the son of our missionaries to Wales, Rick and Gloria McCartney. And both of these kids live in St. Paul, Minnesota. Caitlin is a credentialed minister with the Minnesota District. And they are all doing great in Minnesota. They moved away from the riots, so they're safer now. And then the next picture is Angel's family. Next to Angel is her 15-year-old son, Josh. And of course, the guy next to her is her husband, Ronnie. And then on next to Ronnie is Josiah, who is 17. These boys are very, you know, they play the drums, they play the bass, they play soccer, they run track, they do all kinds of music stuff. They're very, very busy. And so they pastor in Ellettsville Assembly of God. They have been there, they were 7 years as youth pastors, and now almost seven as senior pastor. Okay, so that's Angel's family. And Megan's family is next. The baby, this is her husband, Chris, and her children, Tyler, Bethany, Molly, and Isabel. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about all of them. They pastor in Crawfordsville, Indiana, at Cross Point Fellowship, which is also one of our Assembly of God churches, and we are very blessed to have our daughters and their families in the state. It's awesome. It's awesome. So I thought you just might want to know what's going on in their lives, because it's been a long time since you've seen them, right? Right? Act like you're interested. Okay, thank you. Okay, so today I'm going to be up front with you. This is probably not going to be a typical Mother's Day message. And I don't count myself to be a preacher, but I do hope that you will receive encouragement from the things that I'm going to share with the things that are going on in your own life. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I just want to thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the people that are here, the men and the women especially, Lord God. And on this special day, I pray, Lord Jesus, you know I've got bukus of notes, but what I want to say is what you want me to say. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would flow through this place. I've been in the place, this sanctuary, Lord Jesus, on Saturday nights where we prayed, we went up and down these aisles, and we anointed these pews, and we anointed these walls, and we prayed before flags. For your presence is here in this place, Lord Jesus. So I'm asking you to do what only you can do, that we would have big ears and open hearts to receive what you want us to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week, you see, there is my title, Forecast, Chance of Rain. God fulfilled that today, didn't he? Did real good. I put the Kokomo weather app on my phone. I look at the weather app every day to see if I need to, you know, long sleeves, if I can wear sandals, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I put Kokomo on, and I didn't think it would differ a whole lot because we're close, you know, we're close to you guys in Indy. But let me tell you, last week, the weather app said it was going to be a high of 65 in Kokomo. All right, today it was when I came over here, it was 43. Said the wind was going to be 10 to 20. Today, the weather app says 20 to 30. And it said chance of rain, 50% a week ago. Well, today it's going to be 100. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven." When we drive, when Pastor John and I go up and down the roads of Indiana, the Bradford trees are blooming everywhere. They are gorgeous. And the spring flowers are coming up. Mid-November, we moved to a different house from where we lived initially when we moved from Kokomo. And we didn't know what all was underground. And some of the things did not survive the winter. And some things have come up. But it's like there's a season for everything. A right time for everything. This is what the message says, Matthew 5, 44 and 45. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. So today, I do not want you to feel singled out. We all go through seasons in our lives. And maybe you say, yeah, I'm in a season right now. It's beating down on me. I feel like I'm in a flood, and it's just too painful. Even when life is hard, I promise you, God is working for your good. You can count your blessings, or you can count your problems. Good people experience pain and disappointment, no matter how committed they are to God, and no matter how flawless their character. Good things happen to good people, or bad things can happen to good people. Pain teaches us to depend on Jesus. Did you hear me say that? Pain teaches you to depend on Jesus. If I avoid all pain, I avoid growth. If I avoid all pain, I'm avoiding growth. So today, I'm going to share some pain that we have had in our family that I believe we have gone through. And I share this testimony, this scripture verse, James 1:12. Blessed is the man or woman that perseveres under trial. For when you have stood the test, you will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So, I'm sorry, I'm really dry. Not in my heart, though, just in my mouth. Okay. So, let's go back to real life 30 years ago. And by the way, where are the Harringtons today? I don't see them. Are they here? Raise your hand. Okay, where's your mom and dad? Oh, my goodness. Okay, they probably knew I was coming. All right, so anyway, way back 30 years ago, next month, June 13th, will be the time when Pastor Rusty and Sherry were here, the Harringtons, and I don't know who all were youth sponsors at that time, but that is when we all took the trip to Kings Island, and my life and my body were changed forever. Can you believe it's going to be 30 years? I was just a child back then. 14 surgeries later, I am the bionic woman of the Indiana district. And many of you were here during all that time. Megan had internal injuries. The doctors told Pastor Don she may not live. The jaws of life cut me out of our van. I was broke from the neck down. 10 doctors stood around my hospital bed in Cincinnati and told me I would probably never walk again. A lot of weeks in the hospital in traction. I couldn't sit up, couldn't put my legs down, lifted on sheets, at home nursing care during the day, and the non-medical people at night, which means Pastor Don and my children. It's kind of scary. Everybody's life goes on and you're waiting for someone to just put you on the bedpan, you know? So anyway, enough of that. Anyway, my second at-home nurse broke her leg one weekend, and I told Pastor, I'm done exposing myself to the world anymore. I need someone that I'm comfortable with. And Kay Berkmeyer came and took care of me. She was my nurse and my angel to help me. And because people had to bathe me, they had to dress me, I was covered with scars, I wasn't able to walk, I wasn't able to take care of myself. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to die. I wanted to die. But Angel and Megan and Nathan, they needed a mom. They were 15, 13, and 5. My husband needed a wife. Marilyn Bagley came and worked at the church office. Days were tolerable and nights were filled with a lot of pain. Physical pain and emotional pain. And so at night, when everyone would go to bed, I'd bury my head in the pillow and cry. Because I wanted to die. Jesus, just take me. Because I thought, I am no help to anybody. What can I do as a pastor's wife from a wheelchair? That's what I thought. And then there was, Pastor Don had nobody to cook. He's not a cook. No, you're welcome. So the church brought in our meals for 9 weeks. All right, just think of that for a moment. Let it sink in. Church dinners for 9 weeks. Some of you stood there by my hospital bed and watched me eat. Some of you brought it to be warmed up. You know, it was wonderful at the time. We needed it. But finally, Nathan said, Dad, you've got to learn to use the grill. But I do thank all of you that brought us food because, like I said, Pastor Don could not cook. So anyway, I'm laying there in that hospital bed. I'm burying my head in that pillow, and I'm crying, and I'm asking Jesus, you know, to just take me. But let me tell you, the pain is always worse at night. The enemy comes to you at night, and he tells you things that are not true. And he said, you know, Diane, if you would take all those pills that are there on that tray beside your bed, if you would take those pills while everybody is asleep tonight, they'll wake up in the morning and you won't be here and we'll all be better off. I heard that twice, very distinctly. Well, you know what? I don't have my credentials, but I knew that was a lie from the pit of hell because Jesus, who loves me, would have never said that to me. Never in a million years. So I knew that was the enemy. And I knew I couldn't give in to that. And I was going to have to persevere. I was going to have to persevere and keep pushing forward. What I am thankful for, extremely grateful, is that way back then, there was no such thing as Facebook. Because Pastor Don would have had me on there every day. Because, you know, people at the district office say, if Pastor Don doesn't have a picture, it probably didn't happen. But I want to tell you, I learned, the enemy is a liar and he wants to take you out. He wants to destroy your faith, your kids, your marriage, this church. Because of the circumstances of our life, they are so overwhelming to us, they consume us, and those storms come, but we have got to be aware of his demonic attacks. What I am saying is that the enemy can be defeated. And you need to wear your spiritual armor. In fact, you should never even take it off. Especially that helmet of salvation. To be on your head at night when the enemy comes to you to tell you those lies. We have to be equipped. Tommy Tenney says, you must survive your worst day to celebrate your best day. My worst day was when those 10 doctors stood around my hospital bed and told me I would probably never walk again. But my best day was the Saturday night when I could now sit up. I'm sitting on the side of the bed, real close to that bedside commode. I had graduated. And I'm sitting there and Pastor Don says, do you think you could stand? I hadn't stood on my legs. My legs at that point were very thin, were skinny back then, because there was no muscle that was developed. You just sit there and lay there. There's nothing, you know, to strengthen your legs. So I hadn't walked, I hadn't stood, and Pastor John said, do you think you could stand? I don't know. He helped me up. I put my hands on the arms of that bedside commode. He said, do you think you can take a step? I don't know. And he moved the commode out, and I took a step. And he moved the commode a little bit farther, and I took another step. And I walked all the way over to that wood-burning stove that's in your family room there and turned around and came back. Well, you know what? We didn't have a worship team. We didn't have, you know, the girls that always sang up here with me, Diana and Deneen and Cheryl. I want them to sing How Great Thou Art today because they could have just done a great job. But I'm telling you, we didn't have a worship team. We didn't have a drummer. We didn't have guitars. But we had some worship going on in the parsonage on that Saturday night because Jesus had brought healing and strength to my legs. And I walked for the first time. And let me tell you, if you remember a Rolodex, Pastor Don got out the Rolodex and started calling people in the church, waking them up and saying, there's a miracle happening here in the church parsonage. Isn't God good? Yeah. Amen. Amen. God does not waste anything in our lives. Not even the bad stuff. Not even the bad stuff. It's been a long time since 1991. And all the things that, all the contraptions on my legs and wheelchairs and walkers and crutches and canes. I even used the cane that I got from Leonard Bates. Still, last year, after one of my surgeries. Some of you were right here when all that was going on. Do you remember the Sunday that I had a fused ankle and I had to wear that big tennis shoe with the orange ball on it that you pump it up that all the kids thought was so cool, and they cost a lot of money for their parents to buy, and my insurance bought it for me. And I was so embarrassed to have to wear two different kinds of shoes. And a bunch of you ladies came to church on Sunday with two different shoes on. So that was very nice. I guess I had some pride issues back then. But that was very kind. In 2016, I had an MRI because I had some stuff going on with my hip. I'm on my second hip replacement. I have lots of hardware. My knees have been redone. My ankle is fused. My body's kind of cockeyed. I'm about half an inch shorter on one side than the other. And so there's a lot of, you know, a lot of issues that the doctors have had to deal with in the last few, all these years. So one day I get a call on my way to the district office, and it's my family doctor. And he said, I'm calling to tell you that your MRI sometimes shows things that we're not looking for. And he said, I want you to know, I've looked at this, I'm confirming this, and also two pathologists. You have a nodule on your voice box, on your thyroid, and you have things that are growing around your voice box, and it's cancer. And I certainly didn't expect anything like that. I had no pain. I had nothing going on that would have caused me concern. My concern was that I love to sing. And Pastor Don preaches and I sing. We're like this team, you know. And he doesn't sing. I don't normally preach. So we're a team doing what I do and what he does. And so they scheduled my surgery, and I was very concerned. They told me it would take probably a year before I would get my singing voice back, and I had the surgery, and my surgeon was a young man that got saved at Berkeley, which is quite the place to get saved at. And As he talked and I told him about my worship leading and singing, he said, well, I lead worship at the Independent Church down on such and such a street in Indianapolis. So he said, I know how important it is that the presence of the Lord is there in worship before someone gets up to preach. So he said, we got this. And I had surgery. And 2 days later, he called me and he said, Mrs. Gifford, there is no cancer. So the Lord was taking care of me again. But he, you know, sometimes things come to rock our boat a little bit. So I've continued to deal with some long-term effects. I had a back surgery in 2018, and I had another one in 2020. I now have 6 rods in my back. And I do set off all the alarms at the airport. I want you to know it's been happening for years. There's nothing I can do about it other than just get a new glorified body. But you know what? If you're still breathing, the Lord's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. You got to keep going. Jeremiah 30:17 says, I will restore you to health and heal your wounds. In a world that is so wrapped up in how we look, we cannot forget that Jesus is concerned about what's on the inside here. I've seen some people that I thought were, you know, pretty nice looking people, and their hearts were ugly. Their hearts were ugly. They were mean. They were hateful. Jesus wants to know what's on the inside of you. That's what counts. My body, I have no 2 things that are the same size, the same shape. Nothing matches. Nothing. Jesus spared my life, though. He wasn't done with me back in 1991. He knew Pastor Don was going to the district office and he needed my help. I have lots of scars. Sometimes they bother me more than other times. But scars are a reminder to me every day of what Jesus has done in my life. He spared me. It reminds me of just how good and how faithful he is. And then some people have scars that nobody can see. Maybe someone's hurt you really bad. Maybe you've suffered abuse. Maybe someone has just, you know, you had them way up here and they just, all the expectations you had for them were just demolished because of something that they did against you. And you're holding that inside. Jesus knows about those scars too. Inside and out. He is the healer of all those things. So Jesus can put us back together. What we have to do, though, is let, like, the doctors or the real people here that we deal with or counseling or whoever, good friends, we do the natural and then we let Jesus do the super. And between the 2 things, we can come out on top. Amen? Amen. In my piano room in our new house, I have a thing on the wall that says, tune my heart to sing your praise. Some days I go in there and my heart is not in tune. Has to be more than singing in tune. Your heart has to be in tune. Some days I need an emotional tune-up. We have to keep our heart in the right place with Jesus. I want to move on and talk to you about another situation, and some of you were here for that. In 2002, Angel and Ronnie lost their first son, Jaden. He was born in September of 2002. That's when Angel, the first time she saw him, he was born at 24 weeks, weighed 1 pound, 13 ounces, 13 inches long. He lived for 2 weeks. And the first time Angel got to hold him was when they took him off life support and laid him in her arms. We had Jaden's a memorial service for him here at New Life, and then he is buried in Virginia. And you see there that little casket, that little baby 2 weeks old in there. That was a devastating time in their life. Today on Mother's Day, maybe you are reminded of a baby that you lost, a child you have buried. Pastor Don and I, not Pastor Don, but I had 2 miscarriages, one after Angel, one after Megan. I know that pain. And maybe that today is a really, really hard day for you because of the memories that you have and questions that maybe you might even have. But Angel and Ronnie will never be the same people that they were because of the storm that the Lord brought them through. The people that the Lord has put in their path that they have been able to encourage and to minister to. The rain that fell in their lives brought them closer to each other and closer to God. So I pray today that those of you that have lost children, that you'll receive comfort today from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, that he does love you and he understands, he sees all those things. We may not understand everything, but Jesus does. And he's taking care of us. And all of us that have little babies in heaven, they couldn't be under better care than with our Heavenly Father. Amen. That next slide is Angel and Ronnie at the graveside of Jaden. And this is real important to, I feel like, you must choose. You must choose whether life is going to make you bitter or better. One letter makes a difference. I make that choice. Because there's a lot of things. I've had people over the years in our accident when we were still here that say, how can you not be mad at God for what happened? The devil tried to kill you. No, the devil didn't try to kill me. We had an accident. Misjudgments. Imperfect people driving on both sides. We had an accident. The devil can't just take me out anytime he wants. I'm a child of God. Only those things would be permitted by my Heavenly Father who takes care of me. So we have to choose if we're going to be bitter or better. And a lot of you were here to know that Megan came into our lives on April Fool's Day. Nathan was 10, Megan or Angel was 8, and April Fool's came. We were in revival services with Stuart Robinson. And he wanted the baby to be born that week so he could see the baby. But he wanted me to be at the church to play the piano in the revival services. So he had some mixed feelings there. Pastor Don was on his way to pick up my mom at the airport. And after 10 hours, we found out that Megan had some issues. She had a heart condition. Transposition of the great vessels, where her two main arteries are backwards. They're reversed, her aorta and pulmonary. So I signed papers in case she died on the way to Riley. And I couldn't even tell Don. That was before cell phones. And Riley was coming to take her. She had her first heart cath when she was less than 24 hours old. And so her weeks in the NICU were very critical with open heart surgery in her future. At 8 months old, she got spinal meningitis. At 9 months, she weighed 10 pounds. Some of you will remember how little she was. Some of you know that people in our church had babies that were born at 10 pounds. And here was Megan, 10 pounds at 9 months old. Her first open heart surgery and a lot of heart caths she'd had in between for them to determine that they could switch those arteries and put them in the right place. Pastor Don had said to our congregation, I believe in the old sanctuary, probably, I don't think we were in here yet, in the old sanctuary, that the Lord was either going to put those arteries in the right place or with doctor's help, they would be able to switch them. And after getting her open in the operation room, they came out, a nurse came out, and she said, the arteries are not as close as we thought they were. We cannot do the arterial switch. I know you're disappointed, but we can't do that. But if we try to stretch them and they kink, it will instantly kill her. And so we were pretty disappointed. We had a lot of hope that she was going to be better. And the surgery that they did, that we really was not something we wanted. No long-term results. No choice. But we had no choice. So they took tissue from around Megan's heart and they made a dam. And that redirected the flow of her blood her whole life into high school and into college. We didn't say a whole lot, but we were really disappointed in God. You ever been disappointed in God? Who will be honest today? I've been disappointed in God. He has let me down. Any of that, that's what we thought. Pastor Don reminded the Lord, didn't you hear what I said in front of the whole church? I said that you were either going to switch those arteries or the doctors were going to be able to do that. So we were a little peeved. But I have too many kids and grandkids. Megan began to grow and heal and have strength to sit up, to roll over, to walk, to do all the things babies are supposed to do. But she was limited to some activities. And fast forward, because I know y'all want me to fast forward. Fast forward from 1986 to college when she was in Virginia to 3 weeks before her wedding in 2005, she knew she was having trouble getting across the campus. When she came home to her cardiologist at Riley, her heart rate was down into the low 40s. He said, Megan, you could die in your sleep. You've got to have a pacemaker this week or cancel your wedding. So fast forward a little more, they tweaked her meds. Then she got another upgraded pacemaker in 2009, tweaked her meds some more, put a line in her neck with a bag that put very powerful medicine directly into her heart, tweaked her meds some more. And finally, the doctors at Johns Hopkins said, there's nothing else we can do. You've got to be on the transplant list. And so Megan moved into Johns Hopkins to live, to wait for a heart. Every day, doctors coming in, well, no, that person died, but they had cancer. Nope. Their liver was, their organs were all destroyed because they were an alcoholic. No, they were a drug addict. Someone has to die before my daughter could live. But on February 18th, 2010, on our way to the district office, she called and she said, they think they found a heart. And we were buying our plane tickets as we walked into the airport. And we got there before the igloo did that had her heart in it. And so Megan received the heart of an 18-year-old. And she just celebrated 11 years with no rejection. What a gift. And if you're not, you should be an organ donor, unless you're just too old. They didn't want her to have a heart older than 30, but she got the heart of an 18-year-old. That's been quite a journey. And you see Pastor Don there holding her when she was at Riley, when she was so sick. And then after her transplant, she gained 60 pounds. The longer you're on the heart and lung machine, the bigger you get. She was sedated for 5 days before opening her eyes. The trauma to her body, they wanted her to rest. And I can't even go into all of that, all of the things that happened. But that next slide there has her. We have been to Washington, D.C., to the monuments when they lived there. She would have to be on oxygen. She would have to be in a wheelchair. 8 weeks later, she ran up the stairs of the Lincoln Memorial. No oxygen, no wheelchair. I'm telling you, it was an unbelievable sight. We were all very excited. She hadn't been able to exert herself her whole life. And with a new heart, she was able to do the things she hadn't been able to do. So I just want to remind you, Pastor Don had told the congregation that Jesus was going to put those arteries back in the right place. Well, he did. It just took 24 years. So I'm telling you today, you can't quit praying. You can't give up. Maybe you've got family members that you want to see come to the Lord. Maybe you have a need that you've been praying about and laying before the Lord so many times, and it's gone on and on, and you just don't think he hears you. But he does. Sometimes it just takes longer. Our steps are ordered by the Lord, and he knows exactly what he's doing. I'm going to tell you a funny little story, because Pastor Don would tell a funny if he was up here. The first time Megan flew from Washington, D.C. to Indianapolis to visit us after she got her transplant, she wore a mask. It was all before we were all wearing masks. And so she's wearing a mask. She's in the airport. She comes up to TSA, and they say, "You have a mask on. What's going on?" And Megan said, "Well, I've had a heart transplant. I wear a mask when I travel, so I don't, you know, I don't want people to, the things that they have, I could catch from them. I'm trying to protect myself. I'm trying to stay healthy and flying on a plane." And so the TSA person looked at her, totally serious, and said, "You've had a heart transplant. Were you the giver or the receiver?" I mean, can you believe that? Does that make you just feel safe flying now with the people that are in TSA? So she called after she got through security. She called to tell us. I said, "Megan, what did you say?" She said, "Mom, when you've met the stupidest person on the planet, you just smile and say, 'I was the receiver.' Thank you." So we're very grateful for the gift that Megan got of a new heart and how healthy she is. They also, Megan and Chris, were very active with foster care for 6 years. They tried a private adoption, and the birth mom changed her mind 2 weeks before. She'd had baby showers, she had the nursery ready, and the birth mom changed her mind. So they started doing foster care. They had three little African-American boys they would love to have adopted, and the parents were in prison, and they came, an aunt and uncle came forward and took them. And it was just so emotional. Megan just couldn't take it anymore, all the foster situations. So one day, a foster agency called their foster agency, and they said, "We've got these three siblings. They've already been in three homes. Someone wants the boy and not the girls, or they want the girl and not the boys. The judge is going to split them up. Do you know of anybody that would want them?" And so they called Megan and Chris. And if you'll move to that next slide, keep up there, Dale, okay? I'm just teasing you. There they are with their three kids that they adopted. That's with the judge. And Tyler and Bethany and Molly, they all have the same moms, but different dads. The girls' dads are Hispanic, and Tyler's dad, birth father, is from Pakistan. So our family has become very diverse. I haven't learned Spanish yet, but I don't think they know, so I think it'll be okay. But I just want you to know they got new middle names, new social security numbers. When we were there and the judge, he puts that gavel down and says, "You are Tyler Michael Krieger." Well, that's pretty awesome. Because you know what? When you give your heart to Jesus, you get a new name in glory too. It's an awesome thing to experience. And there was lots of tears and lots of happiness all at the same time that day. So then of course we got to be there in Virginia, and Pastor Don dedicated them to the Lord. Now there have been times in Megan's life she's wanted to give up. But how faithful God was to bring these children into their family. And then, just a few months after they were adopted, Megan was the closest to death she has ever been. You see her there. That is not from transplant. That is, in 2014, she got sick on a weekend. Johns Hopkins couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. In 3 days, she was in ICU. I was there, and they had to vent her. And they were breathing for her 100%, and she was on kidney dialysis 24/7. They didn't know what was wrong with her, and they said, "We don't know if she'll ever come off." She was in the hospital a month. A lot of people were praying for her. It was like watching a TV show with the doctors around her room, standing in the hallway. White female, 24. I mean, they didn't know. They tried all kinds of stuff. And as soon as people kept praying and touching the throne for her, God started turning that thing around, and she was released from the hospital out of a step-down ICU unit. So God spared her life again. I remember sitting beside her bed with her husband, Chris, and Chris said, "I've asked God to spare her life, not for me, but for the three kids that we've just adopted. So God had a plan. And that girl, they pastor in Crawfordsville. She has that healthy heart now, those four active kids, being a pastor's wife, two businesses. I mean, God had a plan for her. He had a plan for her. And so the storms that she's gone through, I'm telling you, she is one strong woman. And she is not afraid to tell you what God has done for her. She will speak that and express herself and tell her story. Satan will use life's difficulties to slow you down, stall you out, and try to shut you up. He wants to distract you and use the storms to keep you from doing what he's called you to do. He doesn't attack you because he doesn't like you. He doesn't harass you because of how much money you have or you don't have, what kind of education you have. He doesn't come against you because you have a title or a degree. He wants to slow you down because he knows Jesus lives in you. He lives in you. He wants to stall you out because the power of God that flows through you. He wants to shut you up because what you do threatens hell itself. We cannot cave. We cannot be weak because whatever is over your head is under his feet. Amen. Pastor Don and I, we're in a different church almost every Sunday when we travel, and we see all the things that are in our churches, people dealing with cancers and disease and depression and addictions, immorality, adultery, church problems. How do we survive all that? Well, you know, if there's going to be a tornado, they tell you to go into the middle of the house where there's no windows. Well, how do we survive the storms that come in our life when it's pouring down rain? We go to the Matthew 6:6 room. When you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. God will speak to you out of your storm. He will. He will be there. He will be there. I want you to move on to that next picture because I want to say a little bit about my mom. Some of you will remember her. When my dad died, my mom came and lived, was here with us for about 6 months and was here in the church. And that's, of course, me at the top there with my mom and dad way, way back. And my mom and dad, when they were in ministry there, my dad was a pastor for 40 years in the Assemblies of God and died in 1995 of colon cancer. He died at 60 years old. Well, you know, when I was 60 a couple days ago, it dawned on me how young 60 really was. I had no idea. And then my mom, she died in February of 2012, 9 years ago, with Alzheimer's, a very debilitating disease. Some of you have family members that maybe you have dealt with that. But you know what? Losing your parents is another huge storm in life. We all want our moms and dads to live forever. But it's just not going to happen that way. No one can replace your mom. So I honor my mom today. And I thank the Lord for my mom and for my mother-in-law, Mary Gifford. These women invested in me. Where would we be without our moms? And I'm blessed for the family that I married into. I married into my own tribe who believes like I did, who believes the word of God, who believes in Pentecost, who believes that Jesus is the healer, who believes that Jesus is coming back again. Sometimes people marry into the wrong tribe and then they have, I mean, you know what? I love Pastor Don, but I love him more some days than others. But think of it, if you marry somebody who doesn't believe like you, you got more problems than what you asked for. So you got to marry into your own tribe. Don's, you know, some of you know that Pastor Don's dad passed away October 30th in 2018. It will be 3 years pretty soon. Well, you know what? Don's mom was married to RJ when she was 16. That's all she knew. And she experienced such deep grief. She was so sick. She didn't want to live. She got under 100 pounds. She was skin and bones. And we were praying for her. But she was so sick. She couldn't even walk. She was in a wheelchair, and she couldn't even walk anymore. She basically just gave up. But the family found a new doctor, found something her body needed, changed her meds, and within days, she started eating and gaining weight and got new strength. And she's down in Florida at a rehab, and she's doing great. She's getting better where she can walk now, and she wants to come back to Indiana. So we're thankful for that. I'm thankful for the moms in my life whose legacy I can pass on to my kids and my grandkids. That's important. What are you passing on, Mom? Grandma? What are they seeing when they come to your house? When my kids come to Nana's house, I want them to have fun, but I want them to know how much I love Jesus. And no matter what's going on in their life, Jesus is the answer. Amen? Amen. This next slide is really hard for me. Honor your marriage, Hebrews 13:4. Another very unexpected storm that came in our lives that maybe some of you aren't even aware of. Our daughter-in-law, after 18 years of marriage, chose to be unfaithful to our son, Nathan. He was the worship pastor at their church, and she became involved with a staff pastor and a board member. I cannot tell you the pain that has come to our family from this. God hates adultery. The ripple effect goes on and on and on, and it affects so many people. And that selfish sin, I'm telling you what, that selfish sin has caused havoc. Right now, I have two grandkids that don't even live for the Lord because of that situation. The hurt is indescribable. Holidays, family things are never, ever the same because of a family that's been broken in half. What happened when you made that vow? A vow is a promise. And not only did you make that vow before the Lord, wherever you got married, all the witnesses that were there. But you made a vow, a promise to God, till death do you part. God wants us to be faithful to our marriage vows. Our son did remarry in 2015, but you know what? Even in the very best of circumstances, blending families together is very, very hard. Very hard. So I'm telling you today, don't be selfish. Avoid the appearance of evil. Watch what you post on Facebook. Watch what sites you get on. Guard your conversation. Watch how you dress, who you associate with. If Christians cannot stay married, what hope is there for everybody else that's out there? Sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sin is not worth it. Keep your vows. So our son and daughter-in-law, Rebecca, have been married now for 6 years. They live in North Carolina, very involved in foster care. And as you see, Pastor Don already told you, we have 16 grandkids now, ages from 3 to 23. And one great-grandson and another one coming, and Christmas and birthdays are very, very expensive. And Pastor Don may have to get another job, a second job. Okay, speaking of grandkids, and I'm sure that if you're Facebook friends with Megan, you have seen little Isabel. Totally not planned, Megan was told she could not get pregnant without fertility drugs. She takes 30-some pills a day, 30-plus pills a day with her anti-rejection medicine. And so she got pregnant and didn't realize she was pregnant, and she had already had all these months of taking all these medicines. And so her transplant doctors and high-risk pregnancy doctors worked together. There was a lot of complications. They did a lot of tests. They determined that Megan had, that Isabel was a high drops baby, fluid around her head and abnormal growth on her neck. Surgeries would be in her future if she survived. So it came where that fluid was going from the baby into Megan, and they said they had to deliver. So December 17th at 30 weeks, Isabel was born at 4 pounds. And the NICU doctors told us they would do their best to get her from the womb to the incubator, but if they couldn't do it, they would just put her in Megan's hands, in her arms, and let her hold her. So there was not a lot of hope. But let me tell you, that girl pushed 3 times, and that baby was born. I didn't get to do that. But Isabel was in the NICU for 112 days. You see her there. She came home on 1 liter of oxygen 100% of the time, a G-tube for her feedings, and all kinds of medicine. But today, there's no more oxygen, there's no G-tube. She eats everything. She always wants a snack. And she was 2 months premature, but she's caught up on everything. And I'm telling you, if you want to see something that will touch your heart, you go back onto Megan's Facebook and you see Isabel standing on the front rows of their church singing Waymaker. Waymaker, Promise Keeper. I'm telling you what, it'll put all of you to shame that didn't raise your hands during praise and worship. Because she loves to sing. Chris and Megan both have been told by Johns Hopkins and now Riley, because that's where Megan takes her now that they've moved to Indiana. They have never, both hospitals, they have never seen a baby completely healed of high drops. Isn't God good? And so if you will turn to that next slide, there you go. That's her pre-K graduation picture. Look at her. Look at that family. Aren't they awesome? Well, you know what? I can tell, you can tell from my story, that the weather has changed in my life quite a few times. And I promise you, I am not the same person I was when I came here at 22. Pastor Don's 20, but I was 22. I'm not the same person. I was scared to death of Jim Blankenship. And some days I believe I've had more than my share. Megan and I both feel that way. Like divvy out some of these trials to other people. But you know what? I've had more than my share, but I'm going to be 66 next month. And I have a stronger pain tolerance because of Jesus. I had a strong pain tolerance. I've learned that because of the things that I have been through, my life, my family, our ministry, God's faithful today and tomorrow and whatever my future holds. I'm not rocked as easy as I used to be. When I would get, when they said I had cancer in my thyroid, my angel said, Mom, I don't understand why you're not so upset. I said, Angel, don't you remember all the other things that the Lord has brought us through? It's going to be okay. We've got to learn to trust the Lord with our lives. Do you remember the song you used to sing in children's church? The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the rock stood firm. And then the next verse says, the foolish man. We don't want to be the foolish man. The foolish man built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the floods came up, and the house on the sand went flat. And the last verse says, so build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessings come down, the prayers go up. And so build your house on the Lord. We all sing that song now. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be shaken. Some people let every little thing blow them this way or that way. I'm telling you what, if you're deep rooted in the Word of God and in Jesus, those things aren't going to shake you. He's going to be your strength. He's going to be your strength. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. You don't have to be afraid, like they sang this morning. Jesus is well aware of what's going on in your life right now. Maybe you're like the disciples. You feel like he's asleep in your boat. They said, Lord, we're going to drown. Don't you care? And Jesus got up and spoke to the storm, and everything went calm. We can have the peace that only Jesus can give. So I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord today or what's going on in your life, but Jesus does. He is the best meteorologist of all time, better than any weather app you've got on your phone. He knows when you're going to face a season change, and he understands your storm better than any other. So in life storms, when there's a light rain, like today, light rain, tornado strength, or you feel like your life is in a tsunami right now, you must refuse to sink. Psalm 69:14, rescue me from the mire. Don't let me sink. Don't go under. Refuse to go under because of sickness and cancer and divorce, your job, relationships, your kids, your grandkids, whatever. Fall seven times, stand up eight. Just don't quit. If you're still breathing, he's not done with you. Don't quit. Being a woman or man of God is not for wimps. They used to say being a senior citizen is not for wimps. But being a man or woman of God is not for wimps. And teenagers, oh my goodness, the things that they have to deal with, that culture that's out there that's telling them what they have to believe and how they have to say it and how they have to do this or that. This older generation should be telling those kids all that God has done in and through their lives about Pentecost, laying hands on them, praying for them. Tell them about the miracles that they've experienced, the healings that they've had. Teach them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that when the storm comes to them as a younger person, they won't be shaken either, but they will be able to live out their walk with the Lord. So today you've heard my story. It's kind of long. I'm sorry. I didn't say everything. I could have said more. But each of you have your own story. But you know what? You can't have a testimony without a test. You just can't. And the song, it was on your early service. They sang, "All My Life You Have Been Faithful." All my life, you've been so good. That's one of my favorite songs right now. With every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God. So I just want to ask you today, God's faithful to you. Have you been faithful to him? Have you been faithful to the Lord? Or do you have things that you need to confess to him today? Things you need to ask forgiveness for. Jesus loves us. He's not going to come down on you and say, you've asked so many times, I've had it with you. No, he's a God that loves us. He wants to see us make it. So I'd like you to all stand and to bow your head. And if you today, is there someone that comes to the piano? Okay. If you feel like today that things just aren't right in your relationship with the Lord, because it has to be right first with the Lord before you can straighten up things with other people. But if you feel like there's something you need to confess or ask forgiveness for, I want you to raise your hand because I want to pray with you. Anybody that they feel like they would want to confess something before the Lord, who loves you and wants to forgive you of your sin today? I see that. Thank you. Pastor Don and I want to pray for you, and I'm sure Pastor Devin can also. But this is not just if you're a mom or a woman. This is for everybody. I don't want you to leave this place without making things right with Jesus. I don't want you to leave the way you came in if your heart is not right. So if you want to come, I will meet you here. I'll sanitize my hand and I'll put my mask on. So if you'll come right now, I'll meet you down here. I want to do one more thing before everybody leaves. I want the women that are here to raise your hand. Not just moms, but the women. And I want to speak a blessing over you today. Today I speak blessing upon each woman here. Each one of you have special talents and abilities with creativity given by God. Use those gifts to show Jesus to others. I pray angels surround you day and night, giving you courage, protection, clear direction, and favor. May you have eyes to see and faith to believe for miracles. May you walk in the fear of the Lord with big ears to hear what he speaks to you through his word in your times of prayer. Be blessed with good health, longevity of years, renewed strength, and a sound mind. May your youth be renewed like the eagles. May you have wisdom beyond your years to speak truth and hope and healing to your family members and friends. May you be blessed with a pleasing personality, even when life is hard. May your home be filled with peace, joy, and love, and Holy Spirit presence. Because of your faith in him, may God abundantly bless you with every provision you need. And as you trust the Lord, be blessed to persevere and be successful at whatever calling he's placed upon your life as a woman of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vale Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.